there's no such thing as being courageous without the emotion of fear. Because if there's no fear, there's nothing to be courageous about.
Welcome, you wonderful, purposeful, and beautiful humans to Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins. Hope Still Wins is a place where we get to know thought leaders from diverse backgrounds and differing worldviews to help us, all of us, feel less alone, more connected, and move us to become a better world together. Each week, I'll be interviewing inspiring and relatable guests in attempts to get to know their hearts, celebrate their stories, and explore the concept of hope to hear how and if it has played a role in their lives, ultimately answering the question, does hope still win? If so, why? And if not, why not? This week, I'm sitting down with Jason Wilson for an honest and, in my opinion, necessary conversation. Jason is an advocate for mental health and the author of a brand new book, Battle Cry, Waging and Winning the War Within. The book is vulnerable. The book shares his story and talks deeply about what it means to connect and what it means to be open. In this episode, Jason and I talk about how we can find hope in what he calls taking off the Superman cape, which I believe is a great example of, hey, understanding that we're not going to be perfect and we're not going to all have it together all the time. And we also talk about letting go of the world's expectations to better show up for our families, friends, and the world. I touch on my current struggle with suppressing emotions, and we discuss how every one of us, no matter how you identify, can better show up to support others. Vulnerable journeys to becoming more free. I'll be doing a follow-up solo episode, yes, that's just with me, to share more of my personal experiences on this topic. Will air next week, so make sure you tune in. I'm hoping it can be a blessing to all of us. All right, well, hey, it's time. Grab your notebooks or open the Notes app on your phone. This week on Hope Still Wins, it's Jason Wilson. Jason Wilson, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's an honor to be here.
Every week I get to, and I say this every time, I get to kind of dig into the guest that's coming on. And this week I got to dig into what you're doing and what your life is representing. And it's good for me. People know this. And, over the last couple months, man, I've been struggling, with a few things, my confidence, worth, value. And so as I dove in this week, I feel like it was a blessing to me, a gift to me. And so I'm excited to be sitting down with you.
I'm honored, man, and I'm always honored also to be able to inspire men and encourage men. You know what you're going through right now. I mean, I deal with it every day, Ben. You know, and it's literally a war that I wage inside every day. And for so long, I was losing it, just like so many good men that we know around this country and even the world, thankfully to the internet. And the Most High was like, "Look, you know, I need you to write out on paper, you know, what I taught you to help many." And so it was just a great opportunity for me to be used in that way.
So I think that's a good place to get started. Why has it been important to you, and maybe why do you feel like it's important at all to deal with mental health, especially focusing on men?
Well, for one, as men, you know, when I heard the statistic that we die by suicide 3 to 4 times as likely as women, and then 9 out of 10 humans who live to be over 100 are women, those two statistics were concerning to me. And then when I have my own psychotherapist, and as we continue to study, and he mentors me in psychology, you know, I mean, the common factor is that as men, we've been conditioned to suppress our emotions because we do not know how to release them, or fear releasing them, or fear experiencing non-masculine emotions, we suppress them, you know, and then we become toxic. And that's where, you know, the term was coined, toxic masculinity. But there's really no such thing, because masculinity in and of itself is positive. You know, those attributes is strength, courage, assertiveness. And those things are great. You know, we applaud a fireman when he runs into a building, a burning building, and save a family. But the issue happens when we as men suppress the emotions that are like trauma and emotions in our mind and our heart. And then we start living in toxic ways and then expressing what we've been bottling up for so long in a negative way that not only impacts our lives, but those that we love.
Can we dive in a bit now and identify some of the ways that toxicity kind of comes to the front? Like, what ways have you seen in the lives of the people around you that feels toxic?
Well, I use myself as an example, as I did throughout Battle Cry. You know, I did not know how to express any emotions except anger and rage. And as a result, you know, my marriage was in jeopardy in 2015. I couldn't even deal with my wife's wittiness. Like, she'll even admit, you know, she was wrong in many cases. But as a man, even as a woman, you want to be able to communicate in a way where it doesn't even get volatile. Man, Ben, I have a dent in my refrigerator still to this day, and I refuse to replace the refrigerator because it's a constant reminder of how I needed to become a verbal processor, someone who knows how to articulate what he is feeling without resorting to physical force. And so for me, it was anger. It was a lack of patience, especially as parenting. I can't tell you how many times I would run throughout the house yelling at my daughter if she would do something wrong, instead of talking with her, expressing the hurt that I felt, the root cause of that anger, and then to try to find out and help her navigate through what she was feeling to make her behavior come to fruition. And so just those things right there in my life affected me. And then, of course, the messages I get from men, you know, suicidal thoughts, never feeling you're good enough. Of course, you know, many men, regardless of ethnicity, you know, you may have a father in the home, but he won't be in your life. And so that says a stronger message than the father not being there. Is almost saying, I'm here and you're still not worthy of my attention. And so many men become very successful in life, but inside feel like failures. And that that attitude is pressed on or put on those that they love in the family. And it's not, you know, our family doesn't even deserve it. So that's what I've seen. And from the men that I've counseled and mentored, those are the biggest things, is just not being able or feeling comfortable enough with crying in front of our wives, or just expressing an emotion like sadness, or even feeling fear. You know, Ben, I talk about in Battle Cry how many friends I've lost, my man, just because they didn't have an opportunity to feel fear. And what I mean by that is that there's no such thing as being courageous without the emotion of fear, because if there's no fear, there's nothing to be courageous about. But I have friends right now who are in the grave because they knew they shouldn't have been somewhere or at a party or an event. And they knew if they went that they would be putting their lives at risk. But because of the fear of looking weak or milksop, they went anyway and they got shot and killed, man. And so my friends of different backgrounds, some of my white friends, it looks different. But one of their friends knew not to go to a party because he was addicted to a certain drug. He gets drunk and get high and drowns trying to jump in a lake, and he didn't even know how to swim. So those things, man, it's like, you know, as men, our sisters exude masculine attributes, you know, from Harriet Tubman to Rosa Parks to many female athletes, to our mothers, even to some extent, when they have to protect us, when a teacher isn't treating us correctly or whatever it may be. But it's only us, my brother, that we feel that we confine ourselves to this umbrella of masculinity. And because of that, we limit our lives.
So you said and you've mentioned it, and Battle Cry is Jason's book that's out. It's incredible read, and I recommend it to anybody who's dealing with mental health and suppressing emotions. And I do feel like in my life, I know when I am suppressing something. It might not be that I act on it, but I do know when. And so if you're feeling that way, Battle Cry is the book. Jason Wilson is the author, and he's with us right now. And Jason, in your life, because you like to use yourself as an example, and I think that's a courageous thing to do, what is it that you are suppressing? Why is it that you at times in your life have felt like you can't express your emotions and become vulnerable with those around you?
I mean, I call them misleading mantras, you know, big boys don't cry. What doesn't kill you will make you stronger, you know, things yeah. like that. And so as men, you know, I studied the work of Dr. William Frey. He's a biochemist, and he discovered that tears not only contain 98% water, but tears that are shed due to emotional pain or trauma release stress hormones as well. And so when you tell a man not to cry, you know, that becomes danger and he starts to emotionally implode. And then when men, I finally am able to help them become free and more than masculine males, they call me and say, man, why is it like I feel like I gotta cry about everything? I said, man, because you're backed up. You're like a dam where, you know, it has never been released and the water is just building up to the top. And eventually when that dam bursts, it's just constant, this flow of water. And that's what many men, you know, experience when they're able to break free. And so for me, you know, it was the culture. I was a DJ, hip hop in my era, you know, you couldn't pick up an album cover where it was someone smiling or talking about expressing the love you have for a woman. You know, in my community, you would get, if you didn't look tough enough to have a pretty girl on your arm, you would get tested. And so it was, it just, you know, again, we bought into society's definition of what it means to man, to be a man, but it's not the Most High's definition. And so my transformation came being when I had to care for my mother with dementia. And, you know, I was used to providing, you know, and protecting her regarding like pharmaceutical companies trying to charge her more for a medication than she could afford. But as dementia started progressing, you know, God was like, look, you're going to have to become more than a masculine male to give your mother everything she needed. You're going to have to be a nurturer. You're going to be a caregiver. You're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to be loving. So none of those are masculine attributes. And so for us to allow one adjective to define us, that's the main reason I believe that mental health is a major issue with us as men. When I started allowing myself to break free from misconstrued masculinity, I was able to freely do my mother's nails, file her nails, paint them, comb her hair, massage her scalp. I remember one time her caregiver had something to do, an emergency, and I had to wash my mother up and change her and cradle her like a baby. And when I put her down in her chair to eat breakfast, she just started crying and said, thank you. You know, and so, you know, that chokes me up a little bit because so many men I know, man, who love their mothers, but won't allow themselves to express that love for the fear of being called a mama's boy or looked at as being weak. And I've seen it, man. It was a popular sporting goods store here in Michigan. And a guy pulls up, you know, and he calls my name because he recognizes me from my first book, Cry Like a Man, and social media. He says, Jason, you know, can you come talk to me for a minute? I'm like, sure. So we start talking and make a long story short, he breaks down crying because he says he wants to spend time with his mother more, but his friends and family is telling him it's time for him to grow up and let mom be mom. And when I told him that it's okay to convey that love for your mother, it's honoring her. He just started just crying even more because for so long he believed that he wasn't being a man because he wanted to be affectionate to his mother and take care of her. And so, man, for a man not to have the same opportunity as our women to really express all of his humanity, it'll drive any of us insane. And and that's what men need to recognize, is that you are more than masculine. You look at the samurai. I was just on Joe Rogan's show, and he had the armor of a samurai in the lobby. And I write in Battle Cry how the samurai had a passion for cherry blossom trees, but no one challenged their manhood because they like flowers. The art of Ikebana, which is a floral arranging art, which I had to study when I studied the art of Iaido, which is studying the Japanese sword, because it gave the warrior balance. And so here it is as men, if we like flowers, we can only buy them for our wives and our mothers or, you know, our sisters. So now I'm able to peruse through flowers in the market, pick them out the colors I desire and buy them for myself, you know? And when you understand the psychological benefits of having flowers and the colors of those flowers in your home, you'll see why it's important to have that type of a mental stimulation in your home, man. And so, you know, my wife, first time being, this is funny, when I got free, I bought some flowers and my wife thought I bought them for her. And she was like, thank you. I was like, oh no, those flowers are for me.
Yeah.
And she looked at me like, what? I'm like, yeah, I bought those for myself. Yeah. And then, you know, she's like, I get it. That's really good. And so to give men that type of freedom, man, I've seen it change men, not only their lives, man, but their relationship with their wives, their children. They become more comprehensive. And a comprehensive man, what I talk about in Battle Cry, is a man who is courageous, but also compassionate, strong, but sensitive, a man who freely lives from the good in his heart instead of his fear. And so that's the goal. And that's what I always promote, is comprehensive manhood, which includes masculinity and masculine attributes, but also non-masculine attributes.
This week's episode of Hope Still Wins is brought to you by Generous International. Generous International is a company that I co-founded. Generous donates 100% of profits to nonprofits fighting human-facing injustice. So every bag of coffee bought, every cup of coffee drink is going back to make the world a better place. Generous is best known for selling coffee, specialty grade coffee. So it's some of the best coffee in the world. You're going to drink coffee anyways, and like we like to say, why not make it life-changing coffee? Well, you can visit Generous at generouscoffee.com. Please go out today and check out Generous Coffee. Can you talk a little bit about, because I think the idea of speaking about becoming more masculine today especially has a ton of connotations, and people will like kind of sit back and they're like, oh no, what, we're going to get into a conversation where the man needs to become stronger and women need to become less, like that feels like the rhetoric for years. Can you talk about what your approach is and what that does for your household, for your relationships? Because what I get from Battle Cry is that you're not saying one needs to become more or less at all. In fact, we just need to become one together.
Actually, you need to become whole. So right now, men are operating as halves. You need to just become whole. And that's the biggest issue. You know, too much masculinity can be harmful. As I was just saying earlier, if that's all you live from are masculine attributes, that means you can't even be a nurturer when you need to be. And men, I know fathers who are amazing nurturers. When Kobe Bryant was living, he was a nurturer, and we didn't see that a lot until he died. Him and his beautiful daughter tragically, you know, passed in a helicopter crash. You start seeing men across the globe taking pictures with their daughters with the hashtag girl dad, proudly showing the nurturing side of being a father. And so, again, we just need, you know, I know those discussions you're talking about because, you know, as men, they feel that their masculinity is being challenged. The issue is that this world, I mean, if men weren't masculine in this world or country, you know, it could be taken advantage of. We need men to be masculine, period. The Most High created us that way as well, but he also created us to be nurturers, compassionate, you know, long-suffering and patient. So again, I just encourage men to go all the way. You know, of course, stay masculine because the world needs that. Your family needs that. If you were a milksop, you couldn't even defend your family. You couldn't even push through fear. But however, if you're not compassionate, you can't even know how to identify when your son is really just telling you, Dad, I just need you to listen to me. Or your wife is saying, I just need you to spend more time with me. She's really not challenging me. And so that's all I can say, Ben, is just for men to become comprehensive. And that's what we all were created to be. Our women don't have an issue with that. You'll never hear a woman confine herself to femininity. You'll never hear that, because a woman has to be anything and everything she needs to be at any given moment, especially a single mother. But as men, we are supposed to be the same as well. And especially, you know, my faith as a believer in Christ, he modeled what it means to be a comprehensive man. You know, he couldn't just be courageous and making a whip out of cords and beating the money changers out of a temple. He had to be nurturing and compassionate as well. He modeled what it's supposed to look like to be a man. Unfortunately, people only like the passive side of Christ, which never existed. If he was passive, he would have never told the disciples to get swords. And I could go on and on. So an important thing is that men understand that their masculinity, I'm not telling them to abandon it. If that's the case, now it's just the opposite. Now they're not completing what they need to be as well. And so my whole thing is just to become whole as men. And I've seen it just studying psychology. It's we're only living half of our humanity, man, and it's killing us.
You make an interesting point. Yeah, women don't have a problem with it, do they? They have to be everything at every given moment, and men, we do feel like we need to be something or stick our chest out farther than the person next to us to show courage. And it's interesting because those times, Jason, in my life where that's fallen apart is during seasons of grief and sadness and pain and loss. And you can't. I have tried, especially recently, to put on a good face during those moments, and it just never goes well. It never ends in a healthy way. There's always more pain involved that I end up causing based on me trying to suppress the pain that I'm feeling instead of opening up. And it's Richard Rohr has this section of one of his devotions that says this, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Says the great wisdom traditions are trying to teach us that grief isn't something from which to run. It's a liminal space. Liminal, as we know here, is kind of the slang word limbo, a time of transformation. In fact, we can't risk getting rid of pain until we've learned what it has to teach us, and it, grief, suffering, loss, pain, always has something to teach us. Unfortunately, it says, most of us, men especially, have been taught that grief and sadness are something to repress, deny, or avoid. We would much rather be angry than sad. What do you think of that?
I mean, it's the truth. When my best friend Daryl passed of a heart attack on the job with us, the first time I had cried, maybe since 7 years old or 6 years old, was at his funeral. And I had to ask the pastor, I didn't ask him, I said, it feels like I want to cry. And when he gave me permission to cry, I cried. Even at my friend's funeral, I couldn't cry. When I lost my brother to homicide, maybe about 15 years prior to my best friend dying, I didn't cry. Because again, like you're saying, we're taught to not show sadness because sadness looks like weakness. I mean, think of what we tell each other all the time, stay strong. But it's impossible to stay strong. I know some men, great fighters. I know men who are super strong in the gym. And I talk to them, you know, when the lights are off, when they're not in front of people trying to show how strong they are, how bad they are, they're hurting, man. No one can be strong all the time. And again, like Dr. William Frey said, when we hold back those tears, that's when we become toxic. Because when we cry, we release stress hormones from our bodies. When we grieve, we allow our bodies the natural process of healing and recovering. But when we just go to alcohol or just, like you say, repress it and keep moving, the next thing you know, something little could happen. And because of our capacity being here instead of here, we snap. Either road rage, get into altercation with someone we don't know, or a serious argument with our wives. And it's just not worth it, man, all because we've bought into society's definition of what it means to be a man.
The last few minutes here, I want to talk to you about, okay, how do we encourage each other in this? How do we encourage How do women encourage men? How do men encourage them each other to become more open, to give ourselves and others the permission to be free, as you said?
For men, you know, for men to do it with each other, it's written that iron sharpens iron, so as one man sharpens another. And so I have to say transparency, because if a sword is sheathed, we'll never know if it needs sharpening. So for a man, we have to reveal our blade and let our friends know when that the edge of that blade isn't sharp no more. When we can't deal with all the vices in our lives, we try to cut these addictions or whatever else, our attitudes out the way, bad attitudes, and our swords are dull because we hide it. So for men, it's imperative that we stay transparent, not with everyone, because everyone doesn't have your best interests at heart, but find a comrade that you can trust, someone that you can share your cares with, but also that he feels comfortable sharing his cares with you. And that will allow you, will teach you how to become a verbal processor, because a good verbal processor is someone who not only can articulate what he's feeling, but also be able to listen. As far as women, you know, my wife would always tell women to listen without judgment and expectation. She even would go even further and say, when your husband is showing another side to himself, a vulnerable side, that you listen intently like it's a friend of yours. Not that, because what's interesting, Ben, she shared with me that women also have been programmed what a man is supposed to be. But they're starting to see, I don't want that. I need someone who can come to me and be human, because our wives, are you married? I don't know.
I'm engaged. I get married in 4 months.
Congratulations. Well, a lot of my friends have avoided what you're about to do, because when a woman, when you engage and get into that covenant with her, you can't hide anymore. And one of my friends to this day, he wants to get married, but he's not married yet. And he said something that was really funny to me. He says, the woman I'm with can never see Bruce Wayne. She can only see Batman. And that is a major problem for men, okay? But the women that I've surveyed, they desire to know Bruce Wayne. They want Batman. Don't get me wrong, because again, they don't want to be out somewhere and they don't have a man who can't pull upon masculine attributes for protection or whatever. But they want a man. You can't really communicate with a woman if you're only a masculine male, because you don't even know how to feel the other emotions that she has. And so what my wife would say always, she says, never, the biggest mistake a woman can make when a man is being vulnerable is to shut him down or impassively dismiss what he's feeling, or saying something like, okay, you'll get over it, it'll be good, and then change the subject. Once a woman does that to a man, he will shut his heart off to her. And so that's what my wife advised, because this was a hard journey for her as well, because she hadn't experienced a man like myself who broke free from misconstrued masculinity and said, you know what, I'm going to do whatever it takes to become whole and healthy. I'm going to become a comprehensive man. So she had to get used to me saying, hey, you know, expressing instead of being angry, hitting the table like, why don't you trust me as far as the finances? I say, man, Cole, that really hurt. You know, after 23 years, you still don't trust me to leave this home and our finances? That right there allows my wife to drop her guard and listen with her heart, because she doesn't have to worry about me attacking her. She gets to hear the in-depth feelings behind the emotion. The anger is what we'll always show first when you're not used to expressing the deeper root emotions like sadness or fear of failure. And so, you know, those are the two things I would say that women need to do and men need to do to help themselves to break free from what I call emotional incarceration.
Second to last question for you. Again, Jason Wilson's book, Battle Cry, Waging and Winning the War Within, is something that that you should pick up. Anybody should pick up. It's an incredible read. As we enter into, say somebody's out there listening right now, and they're like, all right, I want to start. I don't know where to go with this. It's scary. It's weird. But I want to start. I feel it inside. I know I need it. Two things, I guess. It's a double question. Is one, where do you start? And the second is, as the fear of what is to come starts to come over you, as you start to probably be hurt, as you mentioned before. I mean, even my fiance and I have worked through, she's an incredible human, desires to love me, and I love her deeply. But there have been moments in our relationship that we've both dismissed, shut down, moved on when one is trying to open up, and it's painful and it hurts and it causes us to step back, and it takes a lot of healing and reconnection to get back to a place of health in our communication. And that's going to happen. I'm feeling like nobody's going to be perfect at this. So as that happens, and the fear of this and the pain that comes as you enter into being more open and more free and more comprehensive, how do you continue to move forward, and what can you look forward to?
It's imperative. My wife and I, like you said, mistakes will happen. You know, emotions, they change day to day, you know. And so we have a principle in our house that we don't break. We desire, we believe each other's intent for each other. So no matter what is said or what happens, we say to ourselves, he or she loves me. You know, Nicole would never hurt me. That's not her intent. I need to find out what's going on. Jason couldn't have meant what he said. He loves me too much. Let me see what's really going on. That right there has almost really eliminated my wife and I's arguments. So say when an argument arises, which it may happen, and it will happen. I mean, we've been married 23 years. I'm almost 51. I'm tired of arguing. So, but when you're younger, you know, things happen. So a principle we had to learn was reconcile immediately. So we stopped allowing ourselves to be like children walking around the house, not speaking to each other. I ain't saying nothing to you. I ain't saying nothing to you. That's what children do. Life is too short for that. So what we do, if we have a disagreement even, I couldn't do this interview if I knew I upset my wife this morning. I would stop, you know, before. I've been in the middle of a panel discussion, man, and my wife was in the audience at this big conference. And the question finally came to me, and I said, well, look, I need to first apologize to my wife for the way I talked to her in our hotel room before we came down here. You know, it moved the whole room. I said, because I would be a hypocrite up here giving anyone advice on anything, and I'm not even following my own teaching. And so the key thing is to reconcile immediately. Don't allow yourself to move on. See, when you get married, you're in covenant with her. You become one. You can't be successful in life and you punching your own self in the face. So that's what's happening with your wife. And same thing with her. When she's doing things that aren't good for your marriage, she's hitting herself in the face, you know? And you can't really be successful with that. And that's what I would advise. And then for men who want to start this journey to emotional freedom and becoming whole, I tell men to find the person in their life that makes them feel non-masculine emotions that make you feel very uncomfortable, like sadness, fear of failure, not fear of failure, sadness, nurturing. You want to help nurture them, but you're scared because you may get hurt. They may die too soon, like an aging parent. Or sadness is a strong one as well. With myself, I couldn't abandon my mother. I had to go towards that emotional pain so I can develop the capacity to love her past those emotions. And when I studied, man, I used to think, you know, you would hear people say, man, why isn't this person visiting their loved one in the nursing home? You would think that they don't care. That's not it. Dealing with those emotions becomes so overwhelming that they can't even function in their life. So they try to block that side or that part of their life out. So what men need to do, they need to go towards either an aging parent that makes them feel that way. It could be your wife, maybe her struggle with low confidence or things that you see, things that have happened since she was a child and how that trauma affects her negatively. And the only way you can help her through it is to be nurturing. So I tell men, you've already mastered the masculine part. Now it's time to become free and comprehensive. Pull in the other emotions that are imperative for you to be a healthy man. And just run towards it, man. You know, you can't fight a war always running from it. You got to go to it. To be a peacekeeper, you got to go to where there isn't peace. And so the inner war, that's why the subtitle to my book is Waging and Winning the War Within. the hardest thing for a man to do is deal with himself. And we run from that. We keep running. And one thing we realize that no matter where we go, there we will be. You know, peace has to be in us before it can be around us. So I just advise every man to run towards that hurt, that pain, so that they can release it. And every man, like you said, man, every man knows, and they're tired of running, man. It's a facade. They're tired of putting on this Superman cape every day, and they're strangling us by the end of the day because we can't live up to this world's expectations. And it's time for us to take that cape off.
There's a hope. There's a hope in what is to come as you do start to enter into the journey of taking the cape off. I know there's something great, not only on the other side, but that's a part of the journey as we slowly walk into this releasing of the cape and releasing of the expectations and the shame and the guilt and what we believe we have to be. And that leads me to the last question for you. And I appreciate your time. I'm thankful for your time. I'm thankful for your work. And I encourage anybody to go check you out on Instagram, which the handle is, I have it pulled up here, but if you know it quicker than I can pull it up, Jason.
It's, Mr. Jason O. Wilson. And that's the handle, MRJASON, the letter O, then Wilson, WILSON.
This podcast is called Hope Still Wins, with the hope that we can at least talk about hope and see if it wins or see if it doesn't win or see how people feel about it and see and grab nuggets of wisdom and truth from amazing people in this world doing incredible work. And you're one of those. So it leads me to my last question for you. Do you believe, Jason, that hope still wins? If so, why? And if not, why not?
Yeah, if hope, I speak for myself. If I lost hope, man, I wouldn't be here on this interview. I'd be dead somewhere. You know, when you're helping so many men and boys come to you, like in our academy, who are still incarcerated emotionally, I have to have hope because I couldn't help break them free. When things look dire, I always lean on my hope. So, of course, I'm going to say hope still wins. I wouldn't be here if it didn't, man. And so, it's that same hope that draw men to follow me on social media, because, you know, I show them the struggle, but also show them the victory so that they will don't lose hope when the struggle comes. That struggle is just to make you stronger. And so absolutely, my brother, hope will always win.
Jason Wilson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Ben.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of Hope Still Wins. If you haven't already, please subscribe, please, or follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoyed this conversation, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple and join the community over on Instagram at Hope Still Wins. Well, all right, my friends, hope you have a great week. I hope you found some purpose in today's message. Thank you again for listening to this week's episode of Hope Still Wins. Make sure to pick up a copy of Jason's new book. Once again, it's called Battle Cry, anywhere books are sold. I'm your host, Ben Higgins, and I'll see you next week.